Opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
It ain't the destination. No, it's about the journey. It ain't where you're headed, but it's how you grow. It ain't about the trophies, but getting back on your feet, walking in your glory. So come on, let's go. It's time for Michelle Speaks.
Good afternoon, 860 AM listeners. This is your guest host, Andrea Lawful Sanders, and I can't begin to share how excited I am to have this hour with you again to discuss one of the four W's. Every show will start with the scripture, as it is only fitting to acknowledge the one who made it possible. Today's scripture comes from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. I will be reading the NIV. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The King James Version says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I saw this scripture, Sonia, mm-hmm. When I came into the studio, and it was so appropriate for me. Mm-hmm. It's hard for us when we are going through our days every single day, mm-hmm. Pulling 12, 13, 14, 16-hour days without blinking, mm-hmm. and still not able to manage all that we want to get done, completed. And this morning, I got up and I said, I have this, and this to do, and not enough hours in the day. Mm-hmm. And when I read this scripture, I remembered, if I am just not anxious and let the pieces fall where they may, mm-hmm. all will be well. So I'm really grateful to see this now, and to always remember to give thanksgiving in the spaces where we are and not be ungrateful, mm-hmm. in the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, anything you'd like to add to that?
No, I think it's very timely, especially for the morning that I had. I think that I become so anxious sometimes, mm-hmm. about where this vision, this gift that God has given me. And I just have to remember, like, you don't have to be anxious. It's already ordered.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that whenever T.D. Jakes has said it, he was like, whenever you are in the past or whatever you are in the future, it's not honoring God because it's about the present.
Absolutely.
So I had to get myself together this morning. I mean, and thank God for the quick comeback that I'm able, resiliency I'm able to show these days, because I'll be so far ahead, and that's just not what was on today's agenda.
Absolutely.
So I think that's very timely.
Absolutely. So timely. Oh, especially with all that is happening around us in the country, mm-hmm. in recent days and months. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But we're also now going to introduce the song of the week, and it is one you may know. It's mm-hmm. Video by India Ari.
It's my favorite.
And one of mine too. There we go.
Sometimes I shave my legs and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I comb my hair and sometimes I won't. Depending on how the wind blows, I might even paint my toes. It really just depends on whatever feels good in my soul. Determined by the price of my clothes, no matter what I'm wearing, I will always be the envy. takes on me. My feet, my thighs, my lips, my eyes, I'm loving what I see. And I think of this girl from the video. And I ain't built like a supermodel, but I learned to love myself unconditionally because I am queen. And I think of this girl from the video.
So we could listen to that song to its completion because it's one of our favorites here, and it reminds us that we are perfectly okay just the way we are. But we have to move into our first segment, and I'm really super excited to introduce this next guest. She's someone that I met a while back and was so impressed with her for such a young person who had her head wrapped around what it was like to manage money and manage it well. It is a skill that too many people lack, right, for whatever the reason. Mm-hmm. And so today, I want to introduce you, for those of you who have not met her, to Sonia, a.k.a. the Student Loan Doctor, who is the CEO of the Student Loan Doctor LLC, a full-service coaching business with the goal of helping clients create a plan and understand how to pay off their student loan debt. Her services include coaching to help with planning for repayment, loan rehabilitation, consolidation, refinancing, become student loan ready for the home buying process, OMG,
That's good.
Monthly budgeting, planning for college or graduate school, and loan forgiveness. Sonia holds a BA in anthropology from Bloomsburg, a master's in educational leadership, and a doctor's in higher education. Welcome, Sonia.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be
here. Oh, my goodness. So we have to let the audience know how we met and what happened. Do you want to tell them about that?
So I think it was at the PA Women's Conference. Mm-hmm. First off, that's the best event for any woman anywhere to come to.
Absolutely.
And I have to grab my ticket today. So the point is, I've been meaning to do it. But the point is, I met you there through Hania.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was so impressed with Hania Sharp when I first met her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is like a girlfriend goal. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
And I just wanted to hang out with her so much because she was just such a positive ray of light. And you know that when you meet positive people, you just hold on to them, right? Mm-hmm. You don't let them go, because it's not so often in this world that you find somebody that just is aligned with what you're aligned with. So when I met her, I was like, she don't know, but we're gonna be girlfriends. So I saw her at the conference. Now, not on purpose, I just happened to see her, and then she took me along with you guys. And you already have such a tight niche group. So you're like my good girlfriend goals, right? Because you're a group of women that you're associated with, just so powerful, so positive. And I remember that you didn't all even know that I was just so inspired, not even just by the conference that day, but just seeing how all of you interacted and moved with each other. I'm like, women do really support women.
We do.
This is awesome. So in any case, I hung around with you guys that day, and I remember, I think that's when you were trusting us with telling us you were going to be doing something.
Yes.
You were giving us like a little glimpse. And I didn't know you, so I was just kind of watching throughout the day. And I remember at the end of the day, I said, she's on to something. This is it. I was like, she's going to do it. And I remember I said, I want to be a part of it. However I can help and support you, because again, a lot of people talk. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people talk, but not a lot of people execute.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so let me tell you how impressed I was with you. So what Sonia is talking about is the beginning stages of the book that I just pushed out a year later. And we had a meeting maybe about 2 or 3 weeks after that. And we all sat in a hotel room overnight. Remember that?
Yep.
And we were just sticking things on the wall, just trying to figure out what we were going to do, I was going to do. And you began speaking about ways we could save money. And so here I am, a woman in my 40s who has made really good money over my lifespan. But the things you were talking about, the simple things, the coupons, the looking for ways to, you know, to save money so that you're not always blowing it. And then you were talking about how to, you know, manage your student loans and what that looks like. And if you don't know, I'm telling you this today. After I got out of that hotel room with you and the other woman and our planning session, I started managing my money differently.
Oh, wow.
So thank you. Right. So those little tips became incredibly helpful. You know, I really began listening to the people who said, stop blowing your money on cars.
Yeah.
You know, my car is 9 years old on purpose.
Yeah, remember,
right.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. We talked about that. And we talked about the fact that people who are absolutely wealthy don't spend their money on things that are going to depreciate in value. Right. And they'll be able to learn to just save and do penny stocks and those kinds of things. I then bought your book, and both of my sons have a copy.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yes, yes, yes.
I appreciate that.
So thank you, because while neither one of them are coming out with anything crazy, you know, in terms of loan, because their father and I made sure that we were able to manage as their education, their college education, in a way so that they wouldn't come out owing anything, which is a blessing. But that meant we had to make sacrifices on our end, which meant not buying the name brand cars every 3 years, right? Yeah. And to learn how to manage your money. Listen. You know, being smart about how we manage the money. So I need you to tell me now, when did you first realize that there was a deficit in this line of work, and what fueled you to start the business?
So my story is, and I'm always very transparent about my story, is that I was super broke.
I did not know that.
Yeah, 2012, 13 I came out of it. And I wasn't broke, like didn't have money broke. Mm-hmm. I actually had a lot of money. I've always been very fortunate since I was like 19 to make, I call it grown people money, because I've always been in sales. And so the fact is, I always knew how to get a hold of money. I always had about 3-4 jobs or hustles. So it's not that I didn't have money. I had a broke mindset. I was broke in the sense that I wanted to spend as soon as it came in. Come in, spend. And I knew my credit cards by heart, my debit card by heart. I would just shop online at work. I was so bored. And what I realized is my tolerance for broke or wanting to fix being broke, all of that kind of, that was broke. That meter was broke. So I put myself through a financial boot camp with Dave Ramsey called Financial Peace. That course was like the best kept course. I felt like all the information I learned, I never heard from home. And my home background, pretty solid. My grandmother was the first in our family to graduate with her bachelor's degree in the 50s. So she set the bar really high. In her family, you either went to the military or to college. It's one of the two. And everybody does pretty well for themselves, right? But we never had a conversation about money ever. Ever. I mean, you could, now we're going to talk about how you're going to sustain yourself and have a good lifestyle, but never about money. So there were some things that I fundamentally was missing out of my toolbox that I had to get from that class. Well, after that class, if you were around me long enough, I went in my trunk and I would hand you a budget book from Dave Ramsey. Literally, I ordered so much one year that they called me, and I think they were trying to verify that I wasn't reselling them. The guy laughed at me when he called, because I said, no, I said, I give them to everybody. I mean, I sounded really cuckoo. And he said, well, I'm going to send you some more then for supporting us. And, you know, I started that whole relationship with him and his team. But the point is, I had to help myself before I could help others. And when I left there, I just remember, and it wasn't even like I was trying to start a business. I just was on a personal crusade to help those around me that I love. I would trick them to come over for dinner. I can cook, so you know you're coming. So they would come over, and I would hand them budget sheets. And I say, you can continue to eat as long as you do your budget. And then I put a policy in place that from this day forward, you no longer can borrow money from me. I say, your $20 or $40 is a reflection of your mismanagement and disrespect with your money. I said, so you are not going to manage or disrespect my money now that I'm on target.
Sonia, let me backtrack a little bit. So you started with a broke mindset, and that is simply having the money, but having it go right out your hands the minute you get it, right?
Quickly.
And so many of us still live in that space. And I'm not talking about 20-year-olds now. I'm talking about 50 and 60 and 70-year-olds who just never thought about what was the thing, the right thing to do. Or they were so busy trying to be impressive to other people. Because they didn't want anybody to think that they didn't have any money. So as soon as their money came in, it went straight out the door, right? And so I have friends who, you know, when I got married and said I was going to stay in the house that was already paid for, why would you want to do that? Move. You want to live in some place where the house is bigger and grander, and what will people think? I had a friend say to me, your car is X amount of years old now. You should probably buy a brand new car. But you know what I learned from watching really wealthy people? They drive the oldest cars ever.
Do you understand?
Listen.
Literally.
The oldest cars ever. Because what they kept saying to me was, the money that you don't put into a car payment
can go
into buying penny stocks, can go into, you know, people are making people are making $1,100 car payments out here.
That's a mortgage.
It's absolutely a mortgage. And then I realized, you know, with the disrespect with money, I didn't realize that I was teaching my own children how to respect money, because my 26-year-old bought his house at 23, right? So he learned how to manage his money and to pay his bills on time and to keep his credit score great. And he would say, Mom, all my friends are buying brand new cars. He said, I want a brand new car. That's going to depreciate. But if I buy a house, the appreciation, the value that I'm getting from it, that I'm gaining from it, is worth way more than five cars that I could buy since he graduated from college 4 years ago. Mm. So, you know, I want you to talk to people about what the ramifications are. How much money do you think you blew when you were in the boat mindset?
Too much. So what's so funny is I've always had a lot of favor over my life, and I've always sporadically received like lump sums of monies from different things. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know, where did that money go? Like, I should be with a couple of properties by now. Mm-hmm. And I kick myself. I try not to stay in that place. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot of money that I blew. And you know what it was, if I just was really, really transparent in this moment? That money, that spending, those spending problems that I had was a reflection of my self-esteem. That's what it was. It was a reflection of my self-esteem. And I didn't feel so great about myself at all times. Mm-hmm. And my money habits reflected it. And I would challenge anyone that's listening to the show on live or live on the radio is to think about that when you are in your whatever place, like your I call it the sunken place now since the movie came out. When you're in your sunken place, think about your money habits. Think about your spending behaviors. And let that show you that that's a reflection of you just not feeling so great or well about yourself. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a good space, I always tell people a couple things happen. Your money looks good. Your accounts look healthy. You actually lose some weight. I mean, it's all these things that go tangible. They go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And so what I had to realize is, like, what is it? Like, what's this thing? What's this thing about you're going through? Like, what is this that keeps showing up that's making you be in this place?
Absolutely.
So I had to really start to understand me, and I had to really start to ask those hard questions about me. Mm-hmm. Was it a reflection of a bad relationship? And a lot of women don't talk about that. No, you're not necessarily spending money on him. You could be, but not necessarily on him. But are you spending money to appease him, to do something for him, or even to do something for you that you think is really not for you, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it a reflection of you don't like your job?
Yes.
Some people are so miserable that they have what's called, what do I call it? A payday syndrome.
Wow.
A payday syndrome. So when payday comes, what happens is people actually blow their money because they have that I deserve to spend this paycheck. You deserve because you feel that way because you don't like what you do. Mm-hmm. And if you did, you wouldn't have that syndrome kick in. That's what I truly believe. I can speak to this because I was in a place where I wasn't satisfied at work. I liked what I made, trust me. Mm-hmm. But I was so stressed out. Mm-hmm. To now I'm in this place where, not to be funny, I wake up, you know, at the time that works well for my body. I go to my swim class again. Mm-hmm. I told you I started that again. Mm-hmm. I hit the office when I hit the office. Mm-hmm. I have people around me that I really, really want to support. And I like these women. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's not always easy thing to say. Right. Mm-hmm. So now that I'm in this space, I notice that my money behavior, my money habits are so good. Mm-hmm. I don't have to use money to nullify anything that I'm emotionally feeling.
Amen. Mm-hmm. The payday syndrome and blowing money is a reflection of your self-esteem. I absolutely agree with you. Mm-hmm. Right? Wow. I just love you. You couldn't have been a better guest for me today. So what is the process like in becoming a client? Walk me through it.
Yes. So here's the thing, newsflash, and I think I told this to you right before we went on. I no longer do the coaching, and I did get a little pushback from that, like, what do you mean? I want Sonya, and I want Sonya too. But let me just tell you, it's not a real business. Mm-hmm. When you go to Citizens Bank, do you sit with the CEO or the founder of Citizens Bank?
Absolutely.
No. Mm-hmm. And what I won't do, and I really am very careful of this, and I learned this through my mentors or my virtual mentors, is that you don't let people tell you about how you run your business. I always started this business from the very start with, when I hire and when I bring on X, Y, and Z coach, it will look like this. Mm-hmm. I never created systems to be just for me.
Amen.
I literally paid for the systems that the big boys play with, right? Mm-hmm. The schedulers that the companies, small businesses actually use. Mm-hmm. So I never wanted to be on an Excel sheet forever. Like, I didn't even start off with an Excel sheet. I didn't start off with a Google, a Gmail email. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, no shade anyone that did. Mm-hmm. But I knew from the very beginning that if we're going to do this thing, we're going to do it right.
Right, yeah.
And so now that I am in a place to where I heard God's word say, he told me, this is what he said, no joke. He said to get out your business and be about your business. Mm. How, if you have the two hands that you're doing everything with, how are you expected to grow your business if you're sitting at the table all day doing the work? That's ludicrous. That's crazy.
Lord, say it again. I just had a similar conversation mm-hmm. with a sister. I said, you need support. You cannot be the one doing everything.
Everything.
I went from one assistant to three. Yeah. Right? And there are people that are handling pieces of it. Because you're right. If you're the one handling all of it, that is not a business. It's a hobby, really, yeah. right? Because you're just kind of piddling around in all the things. And you have to have a budget. And you have to know what's going to happen. You have to have long-term goals, short-term goals, you know, objectives, all of it. And people just go, oh, I'm starting a business, throw up a name, and don't realize that there are systems that have to be in place yeah. in order for that business to grow and thrive. I so applaud yeah. you for that.
I think that was what was big for me. So literally, I had informed my team. There's seven women mm-hmm. that work with me, mm-hmm. three that are full-time and four that are part-time, mm-hmm. two that are like, I'm coming any moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And the reason is because in our environment, we really have love and support.
Right.
I make sure that I base the goals for the business around mm-hmm. each other and mm-hmm. not individually. Mm-hmm. So while it sells oriented mm-hmm. but if we don't do this together, we will mm-hmm. not hit this goal mm-hmm. and I really do believe, and I learned this from Dave Ramsey, he has a book called Entree Leadership. I think mm-hmm. that anyone starting a business should read.
Mm-hmm. Say it again.
It's Entree called Leadership. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to be tied into the bottom dollar, to the bottom line goal. And I make sure that each lady understands daily how you impact this goal, from the tone of your voice to the response of your email to the call. I mean, because we're working until 10 p.m. And so if you at 9 p.m. sound like death, mm-hmm. like you are not a part of the goal. Mm-hmm. like you're mm-hmm. not helping this goal. Mm-hmm. And then understanding that where people are at, because everybody's not perfect. And sometimes mm-hmm. people come in with a little chip on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. But if I could teach anyone anything, it's how to shake that off in 0.3 seconds. Mm-hmm. Because the people that you are impacted, and in my business, you are contacting us for help. Mm-hmm. I am not looking for leads and I'm not calling mm-hmm. you randomly. I mm-hmm. made it set that way so that if you engage with us, it mm-hmm. is because you identified the need Absolutely. And are ready for help.
Absolutely. I love you.
And that's why I had to do that. And what I told my team was, is when people call us, they email us, they put an inquiry form in, it is because they have acknowledged that this is now the time for support. So you are in direct alignment with mm-hmm. that person's goals. Mm-hmm. And if you are not your best self, then we are now stopping what God had intended us for us to do.
So listen, I am having such a moment with you. You're such a breath of fresh air to me. Someone said to me last week, why don't you call such and such and such and tell them what you do? Do you know I've never called anyone mm-hmm. about my business? Mm-hmm. Most people don't even know what I do. They find me.
Yeah,
right?
You told me that. Because
if you do
yes,
your work well, remember me
they
saying
will
that
find
to you?
You. Yes.
If you do your work well, yes. you will never have to advertise a day in your life no. or figure out what to do. And so you're right. By the time they come to you, they have to be ready to have their goals aligned with what you have to offer. Because if that's not the case, and if you're the one hunting them down and asking them to come to go work with them, they're not ready for you. They're right. absolutely not ready for you. I love you.
I love you.
Just love me some you. Because to get it at this age means that the sky is the limit for you, right? Mm-hmm. And that your team has to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. You know, talk to people about when you have to make the hard decision to remove team members.
Yes.
You know, because what we sometimes fail to realize, we want to hold on to the friendships and we want to, you yeah. know, appease people's feelings. Yeah. But if it's affecting your bottom line and your movement and your growth, yeah. talk to them about what that looks like for you.
I've only had to do that once mm-hmm. so far, and it wasn't hard. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you why. Because I was able to empathize where the young lady was at. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, I don't believe that this is aligned with your personal vision. Mm-hmm. And what I actually did was I put my leadership hat on and I asked her, how can I support you? Like, what do you really want to do? And what resource might mm-hmm. I have to help you with that? Mm-hmm. Because I don't need you leaving here an enemy or, you know, not a friend right. of the student loan doctor. That's weird. Right. But I need you to go be your best self in another capacity. And then when you go get to that capacity, be your best self, you actually might mm-hmm. be a better resource for me later down the line.
Absolutely.
Because I think if people understood how relationships really work, like even with us meeting each other, mm-hmm. nothing's by coincidence or accident. And I think that when I meet people, I'm so grateful for my level of discernment, because it's going to, I always tell people a yellow flag and a yellow, it's a flag. Mm-hmm. It's not a color, it's a flag. That's it. So why do we hold on to people, relationships, things that we no mm-hmm. longer know
that
serve
serves us?
Us.
Right.
It always goes back to, and I'm very, very sure on this, and I probably need to do a little more research on this, mm-hmm. it's a reflection of who we are and how we feel about ourselves.
Because we draw to us who we are
who
as
we
people.
Are, what we are attracting in the moment. And Absolutely. So if I meet someone that's not a good fit for this brand, we don't let one bad seed affect millions that we are supposed to impact. You know, so I always tell people there's $1 trillion of student loan debt, and I just want to affect 1 million people of that trillion. So if I can't be effective, this brand can't be effective if I have bad apples or bad seeds. And not bad people. Because sometimes people in the environment in which they are in will show up in a certain way. And if you can't show up happy to be in this space,
then you don't need
this
to
isn't
be
the space. And guess what? That's okay.
Amen. That is okay. Wow. What does it feel like to know that you have made history in becoming what is believed to be the first African-American and first woman to own a student loan and debt repayment company?
So, okay, so I made that meme, right? This is what happened. I made the meme because it was coming up on Black History Month. And I just was really feeling proud about my team. And I mean, it was a baby team at this point. It was just three of us. And I just was thinking, like, my God, we've hit the nail on the head that we are serving African-American women who are disproportionately affected by student loan debt. Statistically, this is a statistic. And so we have a team that look like the people that are being affected most by this, right? And so it was by no accident that this thing took off. When people found us, and I always credit, her name's Maisha from the Shade Room. I always credit her. We just talked the other day, as a matter of fact. We got some stuff coming up. When she found me, she called me. I thought it was a joke, to be quite honest. I had to Google her real fast. And she said, I love it. Tell me more. So I told her. And she said, I'm posting it. I didn't know what that meant. She posted it that night.
In the Shade Room.
Yes.
Where there are millions of people.
12 million people.
Wow.
12 million.
So work, make opportunity. There you go.
And I always tell people, maybe now I've looked up once or twice when certain brands come to me, or certain, like, I got a call from Essence that was humbling, BET. Like, when those things happen, I was like, oh, we might be on to something. But when I tell you, Andre, and you know this, I mean, my head's down, 13-hour days, working. And because what I understood is because I decided to leave my job, I don't think repossessions are cute. I don't think ramen noodles for dinner is attractive either. I'm not on that ministry. I don't think God would lead me to that. So, and then when I understood that I took someone on to my payroll full-time, when I took two people on to my payroll full-time, I understood that, no, I don't have children. Because everyone's going, well, you don't have children. What's your drive motivation? But I got people that got children.
Absolutely.
And I got people that got grandchildren. and if my boat isn't tight and secure, then the women that have decided to come along with me on this journey, I would be leading them in vain.
So your work ethic is incredible.
It has
and that's
to be.
Something else that we have to talk about, because as business owners, people think that you go to work 9 to 5 or 8 to 4 and it doesn't call for all of that. No, no. What you see the results that you're seeing from
is
those of us,
a manifestation of the
years absolutely of hard work that we have put in, and that when most people are sleeping, we're working 13, 14, 16 hour days. Well, it isn't always that way, right?
Right.
So, you know, once we get to a certain place, we can say, all right, I can stop and rest for a little bit. But you literally have to have the kind of work ethic, because if you don't work, you don't eat.
Right.
And so entrepreneurship is not something that you do because it sounds cute at the moment.
It looks so cute on social media.
It does, doesn't it?
And I'm sorry if I'm a part of that too, because I know I probably am. But it's not sexy. It's not sexy. You will lose some friends.
Yep.
You will lose a lot of time.
You will have some failures.
You will have some big failures.
Yep.
And I think that if I could give a message to anyone that was kind of considering entrepreneurship is, maybe reconsider it.
Yes.
Reconsider it 3 times. And if you still feel like it's for you, then try it out. But I think that I always say that there is no manual for what my life has gone through in the last few years. I literally went from hustling, because it was a hustle, right? Well, I call it ministry, because I was helping people at church for free first. Then it went to a hustle. And then it went to entrepreneurship 101, me as my own employer. And then it went to me employing others. All of that has happened in 1.5 years, and there is no book for that.
Absolutely.
And I said, oh my God, I said, I don't have a God, but all I have is God. I don't have a God, I have God. So people are like, well, what book did you read? I had God. Like, I don't know what to tell you, because that's my story. That's not everybody's story to go from that transition. So if I wasn't tightly wrapped, or if I didn't believe in what I believe in, and if I wasn't unshakable, this thing would have fell off a long time ago.
Absolutely. So there's a certain amount of faith that you have to have.
Oh, it's a lot of faith. Oh, right? It's a lot of faith, yes.
People don't understand the nights when you're up going, well, if I don't do it this way, then the people that I'm paying will not be able to get paid, and then this won't happen, and that won't happen, and it's a ton of work, right? I would also suggest to people that if you're going to go into entrepreneurship, go into entrepreneurship with a passion, right? Yeah. With something that you're really passionate about, because like everybody says, it always starts out, and be prepared to work for free. Yeah. So many folks think that, you know, we put out the shingles, we have an LLC or we're sole proprietorship and, you know, we have to get paid. We're not doing anything for free. How am I supposed to eat? You know, people have to have an idea of who you are and what service you offer to their clientele, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's something that they'd want to do. So like you, I did a ton of work for free in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Then it became the hustle. You are absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And then it became a business, right? So there's a lot going on there. What do you think your legacy will be? That's my last question for you.
Yeah, I think my legacy, if I'm doing this thing correctly, I think my children are going to have a pretty good setup, but I think my grandchildren are going to be really the winners. and I think that my grandchildren's children are going to be really on fire. What I tell people is that you can't leave an apartment behind. Mm-hmm. You can't be a good giver broke. I've never seen red bottoms be left behind. I mean, you might have passed in a Louis bag. I'd take it if somebody gave me one. But that's not going to be things that change someone's history.
Absolutely.
Right? So I remember, this is a good story. I remember when I was sitting in college, and I was stressing over this class that I knew I was going to fail and I had to retake. And I hate failing. I hated that I was going to have to use some money to retake it. Just this class now, statistics, not working. And I remember I was stressed out. And the girl next to me, I mean, cool as a cucumber, she was like, oh, I'm going to have to retake it too. I'm like, girl, you're not worried. That's more financial aid. And I remember, and she was like, I never forget the face she gave me. She was like, my uncle will pay for this.
Oh.
I said, what do you mean? What does he do? She said, no, he left it in his will.
And, you know,
changed my life forever.
Yes, because there's a woman that I follow, Dr. Pam Jolly, who was a financial guru. And I remember her talking about the fact that it takes three generations to gain wealth, right? To gain tangible wealth.
Yes.
And so that's a conversation. I'm happy that my children are there having the conversation. But when my oldest comes in, flies in from where he lives now, and we sit down and we talk about this is where this is where that is, go over there if you need to, that, so that when I leave here, I'm not leaving a Louis Vuitton bag for my children and red bottoms, right? You're absolutely right. But it's a conversation so many of us, we want to live in the moment. I don't have time to live in the moment, right? You want to be able to leave, and you're absolutely right, because I said to them, your children's children should be okay when I walk out of here. And more of us can have that conversation if we believe in ourselves, right? And are willing to put in the time, the effort, the certain failure, because I tell people all the time, failure is not fatal,
right?
Fail forward, learn the lessons. Yeah. I have had more great business advice, and follow people that are going where you want to go, that are where you are, right? Walk in, absolutely. Listen to the advice that they give you, because they're certainly telling you things that they failed on, right? That can help you to move forward. So to see you this young, man, oh man, oh man. The sky's the limit for you, Sonia.
Well, I'm grateful for you, Andrea. I think that one of the things that you give me that I am so working hard to give others right now in this day and age space is that when you leave me, I would hope that your feeling about me is warm. I would hope that you would feel encouraged or inspired. I actually would hope that it makes you think about something in your finance you want to improve, because I'm not perfect with money. Nobody's perfect with money. But when you get around people that are really good for you or have some really good energy, they should spark something inside of you. And I know that I'm in the right space with the right people, such as yourself, that when I leave, it makes me want to go like, oh, I got to get to the laptop and get on something and improve something. So I'm so grateful for you, because I remember my first encounter is I was like, I need a hashtag. I want my good girlfriends. I don't know how old you are, because you know you look 17.
I'm 50, so. Honey. No, Lord,
okay, well, all right, that's fine. 50. You told him. So my goal is when in my 50s, I want to have a group of women like this. I want to be around some women that are not believe or pretending to look like they're doing well, but that they're really well and have receipts for it, right? Mm-hmm. And now I want to be around some women that can actually teach you something.
Absolutely.
Because we always are learning, but who are you learning from? Mm. If you don't consciously put yourself in a position to learn from good people and good sources, you're going to take in information either way. But what information are you taking in, and is it best for you? Mm-hmm. So when I tell you I show up to support you, or I show up to the conference, or I show up, and I fly myself to all different conferences, it's to the point where I'm meeting, I call them conference goers. We see each other all around the nation. Like, girl, didn't I see you at the CIFA? Girl, you know you did. Because what I said to her is, I said, and I said to this lady on the third time, I said, girl, we probably should be friends in real life. Because what that means is you're aligned and you're on my wavelength.
Absolutely.
And she said, I think we should be friends. Absolutely. So we are. So I say all that to say, just to summarize the legacy part, is that if, God forbid, something happened today or tomorrow, I would hope that as of today, that my legacy would be, I love this part, she believed she did.
She believed she could.
She believed she could.
And
so
she
did.
Yes.
And then let somebody else do it for themselves as well.
Amen.
It's going to be good.
Sonia, thank you so much. I've always talked about, you know, I mentor a group of young ladies around your age. And that is my legacy, right? To really leave behind, not just keep what I know to myself, but to leave behind that with the young people. And I've always wanted to pull you into that group. I think we're going to end up doing
that. Oh, please pull me in. You know
because
what? I need it. I need it because I know, I told somebody, I said, I know I look real solid, right? I said, I know, I show it well. I said, but it is because I am consciously looking for an Andrea to hold on to. I'm looking for a Michelle to hold on to. I don't want anything.
Right.
But your energy and what you do every day is going to pour over into me. And this is what I tell people. When I get to Auntie Oprah, I got to bring my Andrea with me. I got to bring my Michelle with me. I do believe I'm getting Auntie Oprah.
Me too.
I believe I received that. because it was those women that had took the time to do enough for themselves that they now can reinvest into me with a word.
Absolutely. And our experiences.
Yes.
And as we're mentoring you, you mentor other people coming behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I believe that you will do that for them. So thank you so much. Stick
thank
around.
You. Yes.
Don't you
okay.
go anywhere. This was a great segment.
Yes,
wow.
I enjoyed this.
So we now have to go on to the A Lawful Truth segment. And for those of you who have been waiting every month for this, this one is no different. My husband is hilarious. Good afternoon. I am Andrea Lawful Sanders, and welcome to A Lawful Truth, the segment on Michelle Speaks radio show that talks to the definition of love. What does it mean to us depending on where we are in our lives? How it is demonstrated, and what does it require to have, embrace, and keep such a love? All of my stories will be mostly centered around a man many know as Mr. and is my beloved husband, John, who has been nothing short of a blessing, hilarity, and lessons wrapped up in one delightful savant. Today's segment is entitled The Nerd Factor. Sometimes as women, we think our husbands can be dumb as rocks, in quotation, when they do things that makes no earthly sense to us, but is commonplace to them. Mr., my husband, sees no issues in keeping all the little packets of condiments we get from the restaurants and will pile them up if I let him until our refrigerator looks like it has been abandoned. He saves all the plastic bags from the market, saves all the hangers from the dry cleaners, saves anything he deems worthy of saving, which is everything. Just this morning, I went to the refrigerator and I'm cleaning it out and I pulled some. I'm like, what is this? He goes, babe, it wasn't green yet. Oh. I go behind him weekly and dispose of anything that looks older than me. He never misses them if I am careful to dispose of them properly, because he also has been known to rescue things from the trash cans. It annoys me to no end, but there it is. And as much as my husband has his idiosyncrasies and I have mine, we have always found a way to not let it distract from what we do and who we are as a couple. Watching his nerdish tendencies, though, are simply hilarious. I am never quite sure what is going to happen when he calls my name and I find him wherever he is in the house. A few days ago, it was an experiment with a plastic bag that he swore was made out of polymer, like I cared. But he happily filled it with water, and he made me push a pen straight through the polymer and the water to the other side, showing that the water would not spill anywhere. I giggled because this is the story of our lives. He has created key finders in the snow with magnets on a ruler. He has used the simplest tools you can find in the house, like paper clips and pins and ice cubes and anything you can think of to create solutions for what I would think would be the hardest tasks. I have my own personal MacGyver in the house. It took me a while to not be annoyed anymore when he would call and decided to show me certain things and how they worked. He also has the memory of an elephant. I have learned more history from him than I ever got from years of learning in school, and that is no joke. And I brace myself each time he turns to me and says, "Babe, did you know? Or guess what?" The story that follows those two sentences will either make you roll your eyes in annoyance or widen them in surprise and glee. One day, after the umpteenth time of his testing or telling me about something that intrigued him, I said in exasperation, "Can you please spare me the nerdiness?" He glibly responded, "What? And miss the best side of me? No way." It was in that moment, after we both laughed until our sides hurt, that it dawned on me that he was being his most natural self in his most natural element, the same way I am in my most natural element when I am around him. He taught me some lessons that day. 1, relationships are made up of two separate people with two separate ideologies with core values in common. Those differences should not cause us to fall apart, but rather complement each other. While I'm gregarious and love to try different things like flying in planes and climbing waterfalls and jumping over rocks and dipping myself into water, what makes him happy is building things, creating something out of nothing, and coming up with new ideas in his head. If I can do what I need to do, why is it not okay for him to do what makes him happy? This is what the art of compromise looks like. 2, I must admit that the constant experiments intrigue me. I have come to look forward to his calling me to show me something else. Instead of getting irritated with him, I turned it into an all science lesson. It makes him happy, and I am happy that I'm learning new things from him. Plus, truth be told, I am incredibly proud of how smart he is. 3, when we are able to just be ourselves and our relationships, it helps the relationship itself to thrive and grow. There is no mandate that says that the two people in the relationship must be exactly alike. I would dare say it would make for a boring existence. So I have learned to embrace my husband just the way he is, because while I have the diva factor, he has the nerd factor, and that is just fine with me. Until next time, show the love, give the love, receive the love you can deserve. Okay. So, Sonia, you have not been in the studios with me as I've been reading the A Lawful Truth segments. But my husband is hilarious. And what I have found from him, I've learned so much from him over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, as we talked about relationships, so much so that my second book is called Mr. and Me. Mm-hmm. It's being edited right now, so it'll be out a little bit later on this year. Oh, I am all over it. And I literally have had more than a few men, quite a few dozen men, ask if they could buy the book before I even printed a copy, yeah. Right? Because I've constantly had dialogue about the things that he does and the way he's loving and kind, and you know, he's never raised his voice at me, but if he says Andrea and there's a certain inflection in his voice, I know to slow down and stop what I'm doing, right? But he never belittles me. He never makes me feel that what I'm doing is crazy, right? And he loves me in such a way that I am empowered to continue to be the Andrea that I need to be. And that is the conversation that I have regularly, not just with my diva daughters, the ones that I'm mentoring, but other people that are around me. You know, I post in my social media spaces about him all the time because he is just an amazing human being. So you need a mister of your own, right? You found a mister yet?
such a timely conversation. Won't God do it? Won't he do it? No, I haven't. And I think what I have to be so cautious of is, and this is something that I've learned recently, is that because I am a good person and a good light, and because I'm very resourceful, the wrong person could be attracted to it.
Yes.
And I think that my Instagram will enjoy this. I'll tell you that right now. Mm-hmm. I think that what I've learned is you have to protect your energy in your space. And that's what I'm learning right now. I'm not perfect. And I think that I would really, really love to meet the person that you wrote about for myself. Because if I was honest in this exact moment, I would say, I thought I met him. I thought I knew him. But sometimes, just because they can dress up and they can show up.
For those of you who are watching us live, oh my goodness. So I call it the broken wing bird syndrome, right? When you carry a certain amount of light to you, there are people that are going to be attracted to it that don't always want the best intentions for the light that you carry.
Right.
And it was a conversation I had to have with myself. What I ended up doing was looking and seeing that I was the common denominator between myself and these broken wing birds that would find themselves to me. One She's wing, you know, I call them, that's what I call them.
I love
broken
it.
Wing birds. You know, girl, I really love you. And they're really well-dressed. They're well-spoken. They say all the right things.
And can show up in the right space.
Listen. Yeah. And they look for a particular kind of woman that they know that they would have them looking and feeling good about who they are and keeping up with the appearances that that they would like to have. But when it's time for them to fully show up for you, they're never there. They can't be because
they can't because
they need to do their own work. And that work has not manifested itself in them. And all they've known how to do is go from one fantastic person to the next. And it's not just women, men on women. It's women with men, too.
They're
women who look for men who has it all together. And they figure that if they just get dressed up and they're cute and, you know, it's relationships are about a well-rounded person. Not the, you know, you can have the degrees and you can dress well and just be really mean-spirited. Right? That doesn't work for certain people. You know, just or you may not have the degrees and you may not speak very well. You may not, you know, have all the right words to say, but you're so kind and wonderful and warm that you attract to you someone who would just love to love you for the rest of their lives. So, you know, we're going to move on. This is a good show today. And on the line now is Michelle Lawrence, who is on the road. Can't wait to hear from you. Good morning, Michelle. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea and Sonia.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. How are you?
I am doing very well. I'm doing very well. So glad to have this opportunity to share what's going on the road.
Yes, ma'am. So tell us what you're doing now and where you are.
And so literally, I am in transit to go meet with a great group of seniors down at York House. These are the moments that I enjoy most on the road. I have an opportunity to sit and listen to our people and understand what their needs are. And then, most importantly, be able to find ways to help meet the needs. And that's some of what I've been doing as I've been on this trail. So let me back up a little bit about yesterday. Yesterday was exciting. We had a press conference. I was able to share some of the folks that have endorsed me. So let me say this. Thank you to everyone that gave on my birthday, that is still giving. You have no idea how much it means to me to know that you believe in me and you are supporting me. And it's not just about the dollar and cents, but I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you and to have you know that every single dollar counts and is being used wisely to invest in us getting the seat. That's right. I said us winning the seat. So yesterday I was happy to announce that we have several folks that are supporting and promoting my candidacy that I would love to share with you. And first and foremost, I want to say thank you to the Logan ministers. They were the one of the first groups to get behind this campaign and my candidacy, and so I want to say thank you. I also want to make sure that I acknowledge the Civic Guardian, Rochelle Bilal, certainly giving her shout-outs and props because even when I was at another event, she stood boldly telling everyone that, you know, Michelle Lawrence is the candidate for District 2. I want to make sure to acknowledge Rodney Little and his PAC. And here's where I am most impacted. To have former Senator Kitchen sit you down and say, you are going to make a difference. And to have State Rep Thomas, who is also a legend, tell you that it is time to pick up and carry the torch. Is both humbling and an honor. And because of what they have done and the level of excellence they have demonstrated in their tenure, I am more inclined to, you know, kick it up a notch mm-hmm. to make sure that I continue to carry the torch. And so, in part of carrying that torch is making sure that everyone, I keep emphasizing, we can't win if you don't get out and vote.
Mm-hmm.
Your voice is in your vote. I am doing a listening tour to ensure that you understand that you have access to a congresswoman who wants to hear your needs and work collectively and collaboratively with local and state officials to deliver on those needs. To also understand that you have someone that is going to go to D.C. to advocate that Medicaid and Medicare work in tandem to provide you with not just eye exams, but eyeglasses. Those are mm-hmm. things that just make common sense, but are not happening even today. And so those are some of the things that I'm looking to do to revitalize our small business corridors. I am working diligently even now on how do we take the new market tax credit and leverage that particular tax credit to developing something for a smaller business that's developing and going into the growth stage.
Michelle,
so those are things that I'm doing on the road.
So, Michelle, can you talk a little bit more about the new market tax credit? So many people are not aware of it, and it really can be very helpful to small businesses.
The new market tax credit actually is a tax credit that is given to organizations that are going from grow to scale,
mm-hmm.
But they are also developing their businesses in low to moderate income areas.
Yes.
And this tax credit allows you to get funding so that you can expand your business. And the critical component of this is it starts off as a grant where you pay the interest only.
Mm-hmm.
It is forgiven after 7 years.
Mm.
I'll say it again. You qualify for millions of dollars in order to take your company from grow to scale. You pay interest for 7 years. The entire amount is forgiven after 7 years, as long as you've been a good steward of the dollars that mm-hmm. have been given and you've been making your payments on time.
Mm-hmm.
So what significance does that have? It means that companies that are willing to go from grow to scale in low to moderate cities and neighborhoods, such as District 2, they're mm-hmm. increasing their distribution, which means they're also going to do more hiring. They're going to mm-hmm. do more hiring, which means that there are more folks from the community that are going to have jobs. Mm-hmm. Jobs means that there's a less likelihood of me having poverty, or it's more likelihood of me being lifted out of poverty. That mm-hmm. is the chain reaction mm-hmm. with the new markets credit mm-hmm. and why it's so critical to cities and districts such as the Congressional District 2.
Thank you, but it
is also leveraging that one
mm-hmm.
that I am looking to do and make sure that more companies know about in District 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was good. Anything else you want to add today?
I simply want to say that we have 20 days
mm-hmm.
to make a difference, and I am grateful for what has been done. We need volunteers. We
mm-hmm.
are out. We will be out tomorrow morning. Just so that you know, we are out every morning, but we will be out tomorrow morning at the Allegheny Transit Stop, Kensington and Allegheny
mm-hmm.
Transit Stop. And so if you want to see me, ask me questions, you can meet me there tomorrow morning. I will be there promptly at 7 o'clock. We are also looking for volunteers. Go to michelleforcongress.com. Sign up to volunteer. Your time won't be wasted. We are having an excellent time knocking on doors, meeting the public and meeting the people and having some great conversations to get them out to vote. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, to elect your first African-American woman
yeah.
in Congress in the city of Philadelphia and the state of Pennsylvania. That is lever number 8, and I am in first position.
Yes.
Nothing but God could have ordained such a thing as this. And so for that, I'm grateful. Thank you for joining me on the road.
Thank you so much, Michelle, and thank you for being a woman that continues to aspire so many people. I don't even think that you realize fully how much you've inspired so many of us. What you have done was take a huge leap of faith, right? I wouldn't even call it a risk. It was a huge leap of faith to get up and be the voice that will support a large contingency of people. And when you do this, you know, you're showing people that you will be the first African-American woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And so, you know, you're showing us what is possible. We can't thank you enough. So you need volunteers. You will be at Allegheny train stop up tomorrow morning, right? So people can meet you and talk to you. You need volunteers. People need to go to MichelleForCongress.com, right? So that they can find you.
Yes.
Am I saying all of that correctly? Because I want to make sure that all right. So I just want to make sure that I'm getting it all out to your people. And you can also continue to donate. How can they continue to donate, Michelle?
They can go to MichelleForCongress.com and donate, and there is a link directly for Act Blue. We are still accepting and needing all donations of any size.
Absolutely.
This seat is too important to let it go.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. And we will see you next time on the road, and some of us will join you tomorrow. Have a great day, Michelle.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. So, you know, this has been an amazing show. We had Michelle on talking about her part on the road and what she's doing as she's running for Congress. We've had Sonia, the student loan, Dr. Lewis. And if you missed this conversation, oh my, it was wonderful and rich. We did our A Lawful Truth segment. And so we want you to be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Michelle Speaks Radio. And on Twitter at MS Speaks Radio. There's an upcoming event happening, Virtuous Woman, that Michelle is holding. The date is July 12th to the 14th. The location will be the Sheraton Valley Forge Hotel. Register at www.michellespeaks.org/events. If you've never made one of her events, it is something that you should not miss. Someone like myself, and I don't, Sonia, have you ever been to one of her events?
No, but I'm coming.
Oh, yes. Okay, good. So it's a 2-day event, and it really opens up your eyes and your heart. I started my stuff around, you know, going to one of her events and just continuing to learn about who I was, my strengths, my weaknesses, my opportunities, and my threats. That's a thing of leadership. Every person in leadership should do, right? Because we're all not perfect people. And so we have to continue to learn about who we are and what we do, what we bring to the table, so that we can continue to move forward. Thank you so much again for listening to another segment of Michelle Speaks Radio. Have a great afternoon.
It ain't the destination. No, it's about the journey. It ain't where you're headed, but it's how you grow. It ain't about the trophies, but getting back on your feet, walking in your glory. So come on, let's go. It's time for Michelle Speaks. Yes, it is. Michelle Speaks. All right, it's time for Michelle.